101.3 WCSG, family friendly and commercial free. Welcome and thank you for listening to part one of the WCSG New Year's special podcast. This episode will feature myself, Tom.
I'm Dodd.
I'm Joel.
And Zach.
You're invited to grab your noisemakers and loved ones as we have a little fun and reflect as we watch the ball drop on 2023 and look forward to the new year. Well, here we are in that season where we wave goodbye to 1 year and welcome the next. It wouldn't be tradition if we didn't take a moment to look back. Reflecting on 2023, what would you say is one of the biggest highlights for you this past year?
So I'm going to do a little podcast inception on you. My highlight of the year is being able to launch my new podcast here on WCSG. Oh. It's Through Rough Waters. If you haven't checked it out yet, it's a mental health podcast. And I've been dreaming about this for the better part of 2 years. And to see it finally go from behind the scenes and all of these meetings and versions and to finally have it out in the open, it's been incredible. And it's been out for a couple months at this point, and I'm so touched by how many people are already engaging with it, the stories that I've been hearing, and just the depth of ways people have experienced God through this podcast already has been incredible. So I'm very grateful for that happened this year.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see where God takes it.
It's kind of like picture in picture, but podcast inside podcast. Yeah. So you're not just doing it for the meetings.
No,
huh?
No,
not for that. No, we've heard some really great things as a result of that. Though that the questions that come in, you and your team are able to help answer. And I don't know, has that taken you any surprising directions?
One of the most surprising things actually is based on just the feedback I've gotten, a lot of high schoolers are listening to it, which is really,
That's
really
great.
Cool. I actually had a conversation with the family ministry guy at my church the other day. And he mentioned all of his high schoolers are listening to it. And his high schoolers, they don't really watch TV anymore. They listen to podcasts. So It's really cool that we're able to be in that space and have that conversation with them.
No pressure, Zach.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's so important for kids to open up about mental health and the struggles they have, because there are so many issues out there that are troubling our youth. And for you to be there for them when they need it, man, that's just good stuff. Yeah. So
one of the things Kevin, my co-host, has said is he's grateful for Gen Z because it's made therapy cool.
Yeah. No kidding.
Well, one of the highlights for us this year was we took a trip out west, and we had a really fantastic time just being together and exploring nature and seeing some of the beauty of the creation that's out there. But it was really important for us because this year was probably the last big family vacation we would have where we're all together.
Yeah.
I have a student who's graduating from college and another student is graduating from high school, and we're kind of looking at going in different directions, and this is probably the last big major hurrah, maybe for a little while. And so it was really just kind of special just to be spending time together with our family away from a lot of the technology, because where we were out west was a desert. But it was just fun to explore and to climb and to hike and to just explore and see another facet of this country, but also just explore the beauty of it and take it all in and just be present at that moment. So it was just a really, really fun time, enjoyable, and everyone survived. Nobody got hurt, which was really great.
Yep.
And at my age, those are major concerns now. So
Didn't you go to Death Valley, like in the middle of that record-breaking heat wave?
We were out in Utah, yeah, but yes, okay. It was. The average temperature was 105.
Man alive.
And so it was drink a lot of water,
yeah,
and stay out of the sun as much as you possibly can. But still, so we were out early in the morning, we were out late at night.
Sure.
But it was just phenomenal, fascinating place.
I know That's you great. Said it was great to be together as a family, but was this also like a bucket list thing you guys have been hoping or wanting to do like for a long time?
Yeah, actually the place that we went to, we went to Bryce Canyon, and I've been to Zion before, and it's a kind of like in that link of those kind of areas. And it's just really a cool place to visit. And so it was nice to get back out in that area, see another gorgeous, gorgeous landscape and take it in. Much different from Zion. Zion's got a little bit more trees. This is just out in the open, but it's gorgeous.
And now if you ever need to plan a trip out west, well, you know who to talk to.
Exactly. Happy to help.
Well, the highlights for 2023 for me, it's not a hard one, especially because it seems like it just happened yesterday. But this year, on October 7th, I was given the privilege of walking my daughter Anna down the aisle,
yes,
as they say, for her wedding day. So the common question, of course, leading up to that big day is, Dad, how you doing? It's going to be so emotional. Are you ready for it? Do you have your speech written? And all that kind of stuff. But actually, the way it turned out, it was really sweet. It was kind of fun. The emotions for me hit like earlier in that week, the wedding week, when I was kind of thinking through and writing down the words, the thoughts, the heart that I would share at the reception, you know, for the new couple and everyone who is gathered to celebrate them. Also, there's this cruel experiment that they call the first look. That was pretty overwhelming, too. You know, the first time you see your daughter, mm-hmm, in her dress and all that. And what got me, even we knew we were going into the place they'd be married. And we were fine chatting before that. I knew Anna was kind of around the corner and coming. But when they said, Dad, why don't you just face the altar and close your eyes? Oh, and right then it hit me as I heard her walking. So anyway, it seemed like by the time we were actually walking down the aisle, it really felt like God had been preparing her and us and Andrew for this exact moment, because that's what God does and that's what he did. So we had a lot of peace going into that day, but easily one of the biggest highlights for me in 2023.
That's a big deal. Yeah. Happy for you, Dad.
Yeah, thank
absolutely.
You.
Yeah, yeah.
Did he do the traditional come up and ask the father, or was it a little bit more modern?
No, it's pretty traditional. You mean beforehand?
Yeah.
Before,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. We actually, Andrew sent us a text, Tammy and I, and he said, "Hey, could I come talk to you tonight?"
Sure.
And we were like, we weren't going to say no. We were like, "Why don't we go out to eat?" You know. So
yeah,
I think he was hoping to rather come in and just have a 20-minute conversation, mm-hmm, and leave. But
no,
we got to enjoy dinner. But like I said, it was really clear to us that by the time that came, it was this was just the right direction for them to be heading in, and we were really excited for it. So.
Oh. Well, mine is involving my kids, too. For me, it's just seeing my kids thrive in school. They go to a pretty academically challenging school, and seeing them kind of come into their own and thrive not only in their studies, but also in their emotional development as well. It's neat to see the teachers say good things about them and see other adults really treasure our children, but especially my daughter, who's 12. She had a big challenge this year, was prompted to change her friend groups. Really tough for her at first. She's pretty shy. So to begin with, she would sit with this new friend group, and she wouldn't talk to them at all, but she felt led to be closer with them because they love the Lord, and that's a big deal for her. So weeks went by where I think she didn't really even say a word to any of them, but she would sit by them, and then eventually she'd begin to talk to them, and then she invited them to her birthday party. She just turned 13, so it's a big deal for her. A tough decision that she made, but the right choice. So I'm just really proud of her, and to see her walk through that and do that on her own. I mean, that was her choice, and it was a good choice. So yeah, just really, really happy for her.
I was stuck for a minute when you said 12 and 13. I'm like, no, can she really be that
old? I know.
But I was blown away recently when your kids came to pick you up one day after work. I'm like, wow, you know, you see people around you that you see all the time. You see them grow up and whatnot. But when you see other people's kids, you're just like, wow, time is really flying by.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think she's taller than me at this point.
Almost as tall as mom. So that's pretty cool.
All right, with the new year, setting a resolution is usually top of mind for a lot of people. Outside of the tradition of either making a commitment to do something or your commitment to buck the trend and not do anything, what other New Year's traditions do you guys have?
Well, one of the big ones for our family is we don't stay up till midnight.
Oh.
We've never really had a moment where we were like, yes, we've got to watch the ball drop. It's always been everything leading up to it, but probably by about 11 o'clock, we're all like, you know what? We know what's going to happen.
We're
we know
done.
What's coming.
Yeah.
And we're finished. Yeah. So the thing that we do is we have dinner together, and we just welcome in the new year as a family with a dinner, and usually cook up something different, something a little unique, something a little bit fancier than what we normally have. And we're pretty fancy to begin with. So it's a real big challenge.
No, you, Joel, I'm sure it has a lot of sauce on it.
It does.
Right?
it's yeah. just dripping in gravy and ketchup and mustard.
Good.
No, not at all. So, but usually get something. I have my Martha Stewart cookbook.
Yeah.
Which I've had now for probably about 20 years. And I pull something out of there, and it's always something a little more richer than usual, mm-hmm. but just to be able to celebrate together and have that time. We don't stay up to watch the ball drop. We just, hey, have a good night. See you in the morning on the new
year. See you next year.
Yeah, next year. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Good night. Yeah, see you next year. You're not a sauce guy, I take it?
I am not.
Okay.
No, I'm not. No gravy, okay. No condiments.
Sure.
My hamburgers are plain.
Dry.
But I will make them for other people because I know that they like to have them.
That's nice.
But I don't partake in any of that.
Okay.
It's too weird.
Yeah. Unrelated note, but just curious.
But okay. Yeah, hey, yeah. Happy to help.
For us, we have some family over, usually my brother-in-law. And his kids. He's got some younger kids, and we still do at home as well. So we do the fake countdown with the kids. You can find it on Netflix. And
Start it early?
Yeah, we'll do it at around 9 or so.
I've never heard of that.
Maybe at 10. And the kids get to do the countdown because they fall asleep before that. So then we'll do some apps and treats. We'll do the meatballs in the Swedish sauce and the little weenies and the barbecue sauce, things like that. Then we'll light off some fountains. But then after everybody goes home and the kids are asleep, usually my wife and I will actually try to stay up at least and watch the ball drop.
So my tradition, actually probably kind of to be a party pooper. I'm a lot like Joel. I can't remember the last time that I stayed up to watch the ball drop. I think it was actually probably like 2009 or 2010. So WCSG used to have a sister radio station that I worked at, and we used to do like an all-request party on New Year's Eve. So I think the last time I stayed up till midnight was when I was paid to stay up until midnight.
It's a good motivation.
But typically my family does get together the next day because January 1 is actually my brother's birthday. So we all typically get together for that. And then also college football is a pretty big deal in my family. And I know some of you guys in here aren't really sports guys, but New Year's Day is when usually the biggest college football games are played. And across my family, we're fans of a lot of teams. So usually at least one of them is playing a game on New Year's Day. So usually a pretty chill get together where we sing happy birthday to my brother and just watch football and hang out all day.
You know, talk about celebrating New Year's at the radio station. I worked here too when Y2K came.
Oh, yeah.
And
yes.
It's like no one knew what was going to happen with the computers and all that, so we better have someone there. And for some reason I was the one chosen, and it was like so uneventful. Yeah. It was just like, okay, we did that. Happy New Year. You know, that's cool. Well, for our family, most of our traditions are probably more centered around Christmas and birthdays. I also have a son who was born on Christmas Day, so that fits in with those parameters. But it always seems like we're so tired from Christmas to do anything too extravagant for New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. But one of the first things that pops into my mind, though, is that my brother and I have this ongoing battle, I guess you could call it, just to see who can call or text the other person first to ring in the new year. So we're not usually together for some reason on this holiday. My strategy for years was to set an alarm because we do get tired in the case I fall asleep watching TV. Don't set it too early, though, because you might fall asleep again before New Year's actually is rung in. So wake up on the couch a couple minutes before midnight, compose your text, and just wait to hit send as soon as the clock strikes 12 or anticipate it, you know, by a few seconds. I did get burned one year because we were watching the ball drop on a video stream. And I didn't account for the inherent delay that comes with that. But since then, I've trained my eye to watch the cell phone clock. There were a few times more recently, and it sounds like I'm not the only one who's like this. We've just, like, given up. We're like, we're going to bed, going to be boring. And so to beat Dan at New Year's, I'll either set the alarm again, or I have been known to just shut off my phone and let him win, kind of concede, and I'll tell him Happy New Year's tomorrow.
So it's not really a race to see who can get closest to the time. It's just to see who can beat the other one.
Now it is.
Now.
But it's the old game, beat him without being early. You know, so you can't, if you go early, it doesn't count.
Yeah.
In fact, I think you're just automatically disqualified if you go early. So it's a little tricky.
Yeah, but bragging rights are on the line. So.
That's right.
Well, we know that the New Year's holiday lends itself to be a party-focused event. And if you're like me, just enjoy a good party. So imagine you're hosting one, but you get to include up to three fictional characters who you could celebrate with. So Who are you picking and why?
Well, this was pretty easy. First of all, Sherlock Holmes. I want to say Benedict Cumberbatch, not Robert Downey Jr. I loved that series. I love how witty he is, how brilliant he is. I think he'd be a great in conversation, so he'd keep that flowing. So that's my first guest. Then Darth Vader. I want to tell you why. This guy has the best redemption story out there. You know, he was the most wicked guy in the universe, but then he turned around.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you haven't seen the movie, I mean, you know, that's a big turnaround. So I'd like him to be there. I was going to go with Indiana Jones just because I love the character, but I decided to go with Gumby. You need that comic relief. He's made of clay. He can do a lot of different tricks and stuff. So, Gumby, Sherlock Holmes, and Darth Vader. It's weird. These are fictional characters.
Exactly.
It's going to be strange.
Whoever
no
you
matter
want
you
it
do.
To be. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't spend a whole lot of time in the world of fiction, but one universe that I do know a whole lot about of is the Star Wars universe, and my favorite Star Wars character is R2-D2.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I love this little robot so much. He only talks in little beeps and boops, but man, he makes me laugh whenever he's on the screen, and I kind of think droids are like the pets of the Star Wars universe, and I really love my pets, so I guess that makes sense, but the thing about all those beeps and boops from R2-D2 is I'm going to need a translator, so guest number two is going to have to be C-3PO, just so I can understand what my buddy R2 is saying, and C-3PO also probably has a lot of really cool stories. He seems to know a lot, so it would be fun to nerd out on Star Wars stuff with him.
And a cool accent.
Shout out Anthony Daniels. And then also my third guest, not related to Star Wars, but he's probably my favorite fictional character of all time, the one and only Ron Swanson from Parks and Recreation.
Yes.
We could wax poetic at his pyramid of greatness, including things like haircuts, only three acceptable, high and tight, crew cut and buzz cuts. Fish being for sport only because fish meat is practically a vegetable, and old wooden sailing ships because they're beautiful.
Well, this one was hard for me. I'm not sure why, but maybe because it has something to do with the fact that when I do read, I'm like you, Zach. I really prefer nonfiction to fiction in most cases. And I think it's just because I have a hard time, or maybe I'm just not patient enough to get into the story or to get into someone else's world before it really takes off. Still, I did pick three people. The first one is Elf. Not Alf, the alien life form that looks like an anteater. Not that guy, but Buddy the Elf from the movie, which, by the way, came out now more than 20 years ago in 2003.
Wow.
So,
man.
Believe it or not, the reason I would invite Buddy the Elf is because he's always around our house at Christmas anyway, so he might as well stay around for New Year's, too. He seems like he's good for a laugh, has great snack ideas, and he could help me remember to text my brother right before the stroke of midnight. So, Elf is the first one. The second person I'd invite is also from a movie. This one came out, I think, when I was in high school. The grandpa from Princess Bride.
Oh, yeah.
He just seems like a nice guy. Also, with a good sense of humor, like a good dry sense of humor. And also, I think he's got some wisdom packed behind his hat and his mustache. Okay, so my third pick, I think, saving the best for last for me, would be the lion from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. This is my way of, I think, inviting a fictional character that also embodies some of those great qualities. You know, as soon as you said fictional, I'm like, well, that cuts out a few, like heroes and things like that you might put in there. But this is the way Mr. Beaver describes Aslan. He says he's the true king of Narnia. Those who follow him do so because he's good and true, though powerful and dangerous when he needs to be. And then C.S. Lewis, the author, wrote how he came up with the character, of course, the lion, referring to Christ as the Lion of Judah. But he also said Aslan was what Christ might have looked like had he been born in a world of talking beasts instead of humans. So those are my picks. Buddy the Elf, Grandpa Columbo, and Aslan from the Chronicles of Narnia. Sounds like a pretty good party. Huh?
It's funny because Columbo was almost one of my picks. I love Peter Falk, so...
Well, it's funny you mentioned, because I do have a connection with Star Wars, not because of the character having that redemption, but in one sense, the character that I chose kind of still lives in a little bit of ambiguity. And I'd like to talk a little bit about living within that tension. And that character would be Obi-Wan Kenobi. because I think that there is some good in there, but at the same time, there are several flaws that come out in the movie. And I think it really is a good representation of us as human beings. We strive to do good, but there are times where we fail, or we don't do as well as we thought we would have or would have wanted to. And to realize that this character is just a human being with a few additional amenities, but at the same time, you know, just living with some of that tension and having a conversation about those kind of things. Plus, I want to figure out a little bit about why he got to build the lightsaber that he did. And, you know, we can go on from there. Aragorn from the Lord of the Rings series, kind of a similar type of character, and realizing later on, and I remember reading some of the book versus the movie, those kind of things. There's some tensions going on in there, as with any movie that you would have. So just a little bit about, you know, well, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about what's written versus what was put into the movie? That's where my mind went.
And you did say you like a good party.
I did, yes. So let's sit down and we'll have some deep conversations about where we were going and what we thought should have happened.
Joel, yeah. When you say you're going to invite Obi-Wan Kenobi, which version, which iteation of Obi-Wan? Because I always picture, I mean, I don't know the actors' names, but the old
Ewan
guy
McGregor,
in the gray beard.
Alec Guinness. From the,
like the original. He's the one,
yes.
I think. Is that
yes.
who you, okay.
Yeah, the original. Yep.
So a year from now, the WCSG on-air team is going to once again reconvene for these holiday conversations. So let's say you are only able to share 5 words with your future self, the you, in December 2024.
Several years ago, I made the comment around the time that many people are making their resolutions. I guess it was more than a comment. It was kind of like a proclamation. And that proclamation was, this is my year. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this was going to be my year for getting a little healthier, eating a little less, sleeping and exercising a little bit more, just to help with the old love handles, you know, the spare tire, and also to help with the blood pressure and cholesterol. I guess I'm probably not the only one who has to do that. Well, ever since I made that original proclamation, and then 12 months later, seeing the results of said proclamation there at the end of the year, I've re-proclaimed, this is my year, you know, and we kind of all have a good laugh, except for my wife, who gives that kind of knowing glance and the raised eyebrow, because who doesn't want to be around longer for their family, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
In 12 months, I'd like my 5 words to be, this time said with a sense of accomplishment instead of sarcasm, that was my year, and that's only 4 words, repeat. Because once you get on that cycle, I think once you feel like you've made it through we made it through that year, we can do this again. Honestly, it's going to be a day-by-day thing, but that's kind of where I sit. So everything that I'm celebrating, of course, it's God's mercies are new every morning, every week, every month, and every new year, too. I want to be able to say, that was my year. Repeat.
That's nice. This was a hard one for me because I figure in the next year, I'm probably going to learn some stuff and come up with maybe 5 words. This year that I'd share with my future self when I'm there then. But when I thought about it, you know, I know that this coming year will be a blessed year, but there's going to be some troubles along the way. Jesus reminded us of that in this world we will have troubles. So my 5 words were, don't sweat the small stuff. Because I know that little things can sometimes get at you, and I'll probably run into a number of those this year. But I know that if I look back and I see all the blessings, all the wonderful things that God will provide for me this year, Lord willing, I'm here next year. There's a lot of stuff that I can be grateful for if I don't let those little things get in the way of all the big things. So those are my 5 words. Don't sweat the small stuff. A good reminder, not just today, but I'm sure also in a year from now.
Yeah, so, good perspective. Thanks,
yeah,
Tom.
Yeah. Well, for me, I, just like you guys, it was a little tough to kind of come up with some things to say and think about. But one of them that I did want to, as I look back and reflected on my own life, is, and I'm gonna take more than five, so forgive me for going over.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
It's not a lengthy phrase, but at the same time, it is more. Today is going to be a good day. And I think back many, many years ago, at the ancient age of 39, I had open heart surgery. And there are several other things that have gone on in my life before that to where it really impacted how I looked at life and the things that were around me, and to start kind of thinking, okay, what's really, really important? What really matters in life? And when I got done with my surgery and I came back home and I wasn't able to pick up my youngest, you're not supposed to lift anything over like 5 pounds or something like that. So I couldn't.
And he was 14 at the time. No, yeah.
And I remember looking at him and he was looking at me and he put his arms out and I was like, oh, I can't right now. And so it stuck in my mind that every day is important. Not because, you know, I'm thinking this could be my last, but because the people that are around me just make life better. And so I look at my family, I look at my work family, and I just realize people are important and they matter. And when I'm around other people, even though for me it's difficult to be around people, I'm very much an introvert. But being around other people and hearing what's going on in their lives and seeing what's taking place and just enjoying what's happened to them that's good, every day suddenly becomes a good day. It may not be going well for me, but it could be going well for you. And if that's the case, that's reason to celebrate. Or if I'm having a good day and you're not having a good day, I hope that I'm able to share with you some of that goodness and some of that gratitude. So for me, it's just been, this is going to be a good day. We're here, we're together, we're conducting a ministry that is impacting people's lives, and it's mattering in the lives of other people. So that's a good day. Today is going to be a good day.
Did anybody else count the words as he said them?
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out if there was
seven.
A way to...
I think it's seven.
Today's so, going to so. Be a... Or
something. Okay, so my five words would... I would hope they would be, told ya, God's got it. So you guys know this. The last season of my life has been a really hard season for me. I've had a lot of dreams taken away from me. I've had to recalibrate a lot of hopes and expectations in my life. And it feels like the last like 4 or 5 years, it's been losing one thing after another, one thing after another. But as we head into 2024, I keep feeling God telling me that this is the year he's finally going to start reviving some of those dreams, some of those things that I've wanted. And as an anxious person and as someone who, honestly, I've seen the worst case scenario play out time and time again over the last season of my life, I'm having a hard time trusting that this is going to happen. But I do really hope that this time next year, when we're recording our next New Year's backstage episode, I'll be able to look back at 2024 and be able to say to myself, I told you, God's got it.
As we wrap up this this podcast special about New Year's, we want to thank you for spending time with us. From all of us at 91.3 WCSG, we hope that you have a happy New Year, and God bless.